So have you heard this story before? I've certainly heard this story before. This was one of my mom's favorites. I think that for her it was in the canon of the best stories ever, the best stories that ever were. And I like this one particularly because I could find myself in this story. I'd been afraid just like that. Before we go into the homily, I want to invite Karen to come on forward. She's going to hand out some pipe cleaners to those who are young of body or young of... That's what happened. My homily is not here. It's here. We'll trade you, Rosalie. Here you go. The woozily that wasn't and the homily that wasn't. So thinking of times when I have been afraid, a great gift of my childhood was that we had many rescue animals. We had rescue animals that were small and that were large. We had a skunk once. We had a turtle. We had a seagull that I'd found on the road, and luckily my mom was kind enough to let me take this animal home and care for it while we nursed it back to health. We also had rescue horses. Rescue horses are hard to take care of. It takes a lot of work. And for the most part, my dad was the one who took care of the rescue horses. But one night he was away, and my mom and I had to bring water to the horses. And it was a frozen night. All of the horses' trow was completely frozen, and the hose was frozen, so we couldn't just run water out to the horses. We had to, in the dark, dark night, boil water on the stove, put it in buckets, and carry it out to the horses. And my mom and I had this task. So we left, brave and ready to bring water to the horses that needed it most. And when we were halfway there, we both started to shake with fear. My mom and I both. I don't know who started it, but I started imagining that there were monsters in the trees. And then my mom started imagining that there were monsters in the trees. And pretty soon we were holding on to one another and moving as fast as we could with these large buckets of water. By the time we got out there, we threw the water on the horse's trough and ran all the way back home, screaming as we went. Yes, my mom was an adult at this point. But this is the way it is with not knowing what's out there in the darkness. Sometimes not knowing is enough to terrify us, children and adults. And when that not knowing is shared, it can loom to outrageous proportions. Fear moves through us just like laughter or a yawn. It has psychological, even physiological connection between humans. The interconnection that is normally a blessing that holds us in community and mutual care, that same interconnection can foil us with a wave of fear. Unitarian Universalists, we tend to be a people accustomed to not knowing. Where others shun doubt, we revel in it. There are jokes that the Unitarian Universalist symbol should be a question mark, just a big question mark. There is no faith without doubt, you might hear one of us quote, or perhaps, I know that I know nothing, in the Socratic fashion. But our intellectual embrace does not mean that we are spiritually adjusted to uncertainty, to not knowing. I had a wonderful opportunity to speak to a new member the other day, and when we were talking, she voiced her calling, the calling that she had, that she follows, almost out of habit, that is so deep in her being, that everything else just falls into place when she is following this calling. This inspiration, it moves through her and helps her move through uncertainty, because as long as she's on that path, she knows she can handle anything. This is quite an inspiration. Abraham Joshua Heschel, who was writing before our age, before the internet age, already saw that we had an overabundance of information, but not enough inspiration. Too much information, not enough inspiration. A calamitous overabundance of information. Humans do not run on information alone. We seek the emotional, even the spiritual experience of inspiration. And it's so lacking in our lives that I'm afraid I need to give some examples. What is inspiration? It's when we pause in meditation or prayer and sense that we are suddenly not alone, whether it is the universe or what we understand as holy, that has somehow joined us in revelry, in praise, in gratitude for life. Inspiration, it's when you celebrate with tears the accomplishment of someone you love, moved beyond mere celebration to revelation of a force that moves in and through life. Inspiration, it's when you look back at all of your days and suddenly realize that every single one of those days, even the darkness, even the dark days, have moved you to a place you are today where you can finally follow your dreams. That's inspiration. There's other forms. You could, don't do it right now, you could pick up your smartphones and download more information than you could digest in a year. But would you find inspiration? Would your heart be set on fire? Would you know what you needed to do? Please download away if that's true. Please do. But my guess is that you would at best be sated with a dull sense of accumulated knowledge. And at worst, you would just ache with the weight of it. The media knows this, and so do the politicians. They know how much information is out there. They know that we can't ingest it all the information that is out there. But they need you. They need us all, for their purposes, to read and to ingest what they wish to sell us. So they have learned how to hook us. They know that there is something that feels very much like inspiration, that has the same emotional tenor, even a pseudo-spiritual feel. And you know what that thing is? It's fear. Fear surges through us, just like inspiration does. Inspiration calls us to action. Fear does as well. Inspiration capitalizes on our drive to serve that which is beyond. Fear capitalizes on our drive to avoid that which is beyond, that which is unknown. What do you feel when you hear these words? What do you feel when you hear the word fatwa? What about Sharia law? What do you feel when you hear those words? A part of me shakes. Nearly every time I've heard these words spoken, they have been conveyed in a tone somewhere between aggravated uncertainty or aggressive alarm. Fatwa. What is it? It sounds foreign. Isn't that what Muslims do when they're about to commit acts of aggression or terror? If all we had to consult were headlines, that's what we would assume. Well, here's a fatwa, one that there was no headline for. Like other faith communities, we see no inherent conflict between the normative values of Islam and the U.S. Constitution and Bill of Rights. Contrary to erroneous perceptions, the true and authentic teachings of Islam promote the sanctity of human life, the dignity of all humans, and respect of human civil and political rights. That's a fatwa. Surprise, huh? A fatwa is just something that Muslim leaders say, and a lot of them are beautiful. This demystifies, it de-fearifies the word fatwa for me, for sure. It changes how I respond when I hear it. We are a part of an attention economy. Gaining our attention wins our media and our politicians points, and in turn it wins them power. Both will try to capture our attention. And the war that happens in the land of uncertainty is this war to capture our attention. If the word fatwa, or how about this one, Zika. If these words become boogeymen, they have won. And we have lost the opportunity. We've lost the opportunity, the other possibility that lurks in uncertainty. We've lost the opportunity for inspiration, for wonder, for wondering, what might that mean in fullness? So Piglet and Pooh, let's return to them. They went off in search of a Woozle. And at first, that Woozle search, it was full of excitement and wonder. What do you think, Pooh and Piglet? Excitement and wonder? Yeah. But when they started circling around and around, uncertainty became fear. Uncertainty became fear, and fear amusingly of the tracks that they had trod, fear of their own journey. So the next time that you feel fear flood through you, remember the attention, the economy of attention that we live within. And know that fear is a poor substitute for inspiration. Here's a good trick. Meet Pooh and Piglet again at the beginning of their journey and wonder aloud with them. Say, I wonder what it might be. What it might be beyond this glade of trees. I wonder what it might be in the dark. I wonder what we might find if we listened until something called to us and led us on. I wonder. Amen.